This particular lesson can be very valuable in an understanding of authority, and particularly as it relates to the authority that God has delegated to those who are the overseers of the flock. Some of the young people in our audience are aware of the fact that there are other churches that maybe your parents would not have fellowship with. You may not understand why. There is more than one reason. But one of the reasons has to do with what we're talking about today. You may have heard in sermons me talk about, or classes, the sponsoring church arrangement. What is that? What's wrong with that? Is it a violation of the pattern? And so we're going to be talking about delegated authority based on relationships. Elders obviously have no right to act. That's what authority means. Unless God has granted them that right or privilege or liberty to act. So remember that as we study today. The same is true, as you'll see as we go through the lesson, with parents, employees, husbands, anyone who's been delegated authority. All right, so note we have at the top of your lesson, God's plan calls for elders in each local church. If you're not familiar with Acts 14:23, if you can't quote it, turn over there to it. Acts chapter 14, verse 23. It's important how Luke wrote this text. When they had appointed elders, plural, for them in every church, singular. It may not be so important if we didn't know that the Holy Spirit was guiding his pen. And when you read your Bible, plurals and singulars can be important. It is in this case because it points to a pattern. It's not the only verse to be collected, but it points to a pattern you will find throughout the New Testament, that God's plan is for each church to have elders, plural. When you recognize that the term elders is referring to the same as presbyters, and that these two terms refer to the same thing as bishops or overseers, and then again the other parallel terms are shepherds or pastors, understanding that, you see God's plan, that there was never in God's plan for a church to have a pastor, a bishop. Early in the 2nd century, 3rd century, that digression took place. If you were in Wally's class on religious history, he dealt with that. So we see this right here in Acts 14:23. This is not an accident. This is not something the brethren got together in an elders' meeting and decided, men's meeting. They didn't have elders, but rather an apostle and a prophet went through these churches they had just established and appointed elders, plural, in every church. And you'll find that pattern throughout the churches of the New Testament. Now, as we point out in your lesson, they are not legislators. A legislator makes laws. They do not make laws. Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:23, is head over all things to the church. The word church refers to the people that are under his dominion. He is their head. He is the ultimate and supreme ruler. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, a passage you're familiar with, Peter was applying it to whether or not he should obey civil government when that civil government contradicted the commission that he had been given to preach the gospel. And he made a statement we all probably can remember from our hearts. We ought to obey God rather than man. While he was talking about civil law, that would apply to any delegated law. Civil law, parental law, husband law, or the rule of elders. Never do elders have the right to supersede what's in the scriptures. And so that's just a principle that we're familiar with. They have been delegated, we have on your lesson, some degree of oversight. So look at Acts chapter 20. While they're not legislators, there is some kind of leadership role that God intended these men to have. Now, when you read about elders for the first time in your Bible in Acts chapter 11, and they're just introduced without comment, funds were sent to them for the needy Christians in the congregations where they were. But remember, these early churches were primarily made up of Jews, and the Jews had a background with the term elders. They understood the concept that they were their representatives and overseers, and so that would not be a difficult thing for them to understand. We're over in Acts chapter 20, and Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus. Look at verse 17, actually the elders of the church at Ephesus. As you know, the church at Ephesus was primarily composed of Gentiles, but they had elders. And so Paul is talking to these elders here in verse 28. And he said to these men, take heed for yourselves, and or be on guard, depending on what version you're reading. He said, I'll get over here to the right place here in just a moment. Be on guard for yourselves and for all. Now note, he doesn't say flocks. It's singular. The flock. Among which, the little word among here in 1 Peter 5 translates a little word that we often see in our Bible translated in. Some version may say in which. And when you see that little word in, while it can denote location, often it denotes connection. And so we're talking about being in Christ, a relationship to Christ, a connection. The branch is in the vine, not inside of, but it has a vital connection. And so they're overseers of the flock that they have a relationship with, the among them flock, the one they work and worship with. And so he says they're to oversee that flock. Now, does that exclude them from overseeing the flock in Corinth or Thessalonica? Yes. You said yes? Be sure and come next Sunday night. I want you to defend that. Anybody else? Not now, huh?
And this really doesn't address that. It addresses these elders at this place. They're specific and including these, it doesn't necessarily.
That's right. It does not exclude them overseeing anything. But we'll talk about that, the Lord willing, more in our class next week, if the Lord is willing. But they have now been designated oversight over a specific congregation. The one among which. All right, so we have here the burden of their responsibility has to do with the spiritual welfare of the flock. It's interesting when people talk about elders, we need elders to decide who the preacher is going to be, how the money is going to be spent. No, it's the spiritual welfare of the flock that really is the focus of the New Testament teaching on their work. However, they do have oversight of funds that are either from that flock or for that flock. We'll look more about that as we go through our study. So you'll note we have a paragraph set by itself, which is very important. The authority is delegated based on the relationships we sustain and circumscribed by those relationships. Now let's illustrate it. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. I've tried to include a couple simple, clear illustrations of this principle. So we may not state the principle, but we understand and operate by that principle. Okay, so let me see here who I want to ask. I'll ask Alex. Alex, you're a Christian, are you not?
Yes.
And this letter was written to Christians, right?
Yes.
Are you training your child?
I don't have a
child. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Is that a responsibility for Christians?
For Christians, for parents.
That's right. So here we understand that the duty to train children, and Alex picked up on it immediately, is based on the relationship a Christian has to a parent. And so while the letter is written to Christians, not all Christians have this responsibility, this duty. It's based on the relationship. Now, we've got John Michael and Danny in class. John Michael or Danny, if Craig Moore came to you and said, look, I want you to come mow my grass tomorrow. You might be willing to do it just because you love Craig Moore, but would you feel obligated to obey him as a father? Aren't you claiming to respect Christ and his word? Well, why don't you do what this verse says? He's not your father. The duty is not only based on the relationship, but circumscribed by. So, while John Michael and Danny have the obligation to obey their parents, you'll note this back up in verse 1, obey your parents. Which parents? The one you sustain a relationship to. That's understood. And so, Craig Moore said, I want you to come mow my yard tomorrow, but Michael said, I've got things for you to do tomorrow. You know where you'd be because he's your daddy. And so we understand that. We operate on that basis. All right. Now then, let me go down to E, 1E. If your child was a Boy Scout, would the director of your son's troop have any authority over your child? Let's stop a moment. Let's see, Craig's here. Craig Otter's back. Where does he go? Well, he was here, led the prayer. Anyway. There he is. All right, Craig. Now, Josh is the coach of a soccer team. So, suppose Josh tells your boy Neil, said, Neil, I want you at my house. We've got to empty the trash and clean the floors. But you've got things to do. Should Neil obey his coach?
No.
Why?
Different relationship.
That's right. And so Josh's authority over Neil and Sean and Grant, well, Grant's his own son, but these other boys is based on, is it the father relationship? No, it's the coach, team member relationship. But it's also circumscribed by that relationship. Now, when they're out on the field, Craig, if Josh says to Neil, I want you to go down there and guard that side of the field, should he do it?
Yes.
He's acting as a coach. The relationship. The relationship is based on and circumscribed by. I illustrated it on your lesson with the Boy Scout troop, but we had Josh in the audience, so I just decided to use that. But you can see that. That's something we understand. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. And down in verse 17, it includes the king. So my question is, do you submit yourself to the rule of the Queen of England?
No.
Don't you believe in obeying the Bible?
Yes.
Why don't you submit to her? Relationship. You're not a citizen of that country. And so we understand that. That's why we don't drive on the left-hand side of the road, do we? Because we don't live in that country. So this is just a principle. All right, now let's apply it to elders. Our bottom paragraph on that page that starts with the authority delegated. The authority delegated to pastors or shepherds or elders. arises from and is defined by, limited by, the relationship they sustain to a local flock. Their authority is based on that relationship. Now, if you said that and somebody said, where do you get that out of? Where's that phrase in the Bible? How could you respond to show them that their authority is based on that relationship? There are two verses immediately you could go to.
Acts
20, 28. And what's the other one? 1 Peter 5, 2. Remember that, among which, in the which? Now, it's confirmed by the fact that there were elders in every local church. That goes along with that. But be that as it may, they have no authority over any other flock. They sustain no relationship to other Christians that would grant them any delegated authority in spiritual matters. So the elders of the church at Humble sustain a relationship to this flock as shepherds or pastors. But what is Wally's relationship to the brethren in New Canaan? Fellow brother in the Lord. When he's there, he's not Elder Wally. There are no brotherhood elders. He serves as Elder Wally in relationship to this congregation. Okay. So, their authority as elders or pastors begins and ends in the sphere of their relationship to the local church of which they are members. We have here on the paragraph, there's no brotherhood bishops, preachers, papers, colleges, or sponsoring elders, notwithstanding, regardless of what they say or write. There's no such thing. There are the welfare of each local church is under the oversight of its local bishops, and no one else has been delegated authority over brethren by either precept or example or implication. That is, preachers have no authority over brethren. Societies that men organize have no authority, spiritual authority over brethren. And so this is God's plan. All right. Now then, back to Acts 20, 28. Pretty simple question in view of what we've been talking about. What are elders delegated the responsibility to oversee? Obviously, the answer is the flock among you. As simple as that may seem, the application is ignored among our brethren. We have a question B. Would it be okay for the elders of the church in New Caney to oversee the church in Humble since they are elders and it is a flock? No. Obviously not, because they don't sustain that relationship to this flock. But let's move further. If the scriptures indicate it would be okay, would they have a choice? Is elders' oversight assumed or assigned? It's assigned. If God says they're to oversee more than the church in New Caney, then they ought to get with the program. They can't assume something God has not authorized. You're going to read in papers and bulletins and brethren's papers, the elders have assumed the oversight of this work. Now we need for churches to send us money. Elders' oversight is not assumed, it's assigned. Remember that. Okay? Now, would it be okay if the church in Humble agreed to let the elders of the church at New Caney oversee this work? No. It wouldn't be. Let's suppose that here's John and Amanda. So who's to oversee Amanda as a husband? John. What if Amanda said, I'm going to find another man to oversee me. I don't like what you do, John. Would that be okay? Would it be okay if John said okay? I'm looking at John. I can tell he wouldn't be okay with it. But anyway, so just because somebody who's supposed to oversee says it's okay if somebody else does it, doesn't authorize it. Same is true with elders. When you talk about the missionary society. All of you are around the late 1800s, weren't you? When that got started. And this is churches sending money to a society of preachers. And they'd take this money and use it to support preachers in different parts of the world. Sound like a good work. There's simply no authority for it. When the autonomy of the church is brought up, that is, the local government of the church, here's the response. Churches don't have to contribute. We're not forcing them to contribute. They can quit contributing any time they want to. That still does not change the fact that churches have willingly sacrificed part of their oversight. Same is true with the sponsoring church arrangement. Same is true with something that parallels the sponsoring church arrangement called the Southern Baptist Convention. Baptist churches teach local churches are autonomous, self-governing. But what about the Southern Baptist Convention, where churches send money and delegates to this convention to make decisions for those churches in that group? Well, we don't have to contribute, and we can quit. This is the get around, or the attempted get around to this matter that we're looking at. All right. So look at Acts 11. It says in verse 27, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and began to indicate by the Spirit that there would certainly be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the reign of Claudius. And in the proportion that any of the disciples had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea. And this they did, sending it in charge of Barnabas and Saul to the elders. What elders? What?
Those living in Judea.
So it's the elders over Judea? The elders in the congregations where there were needy Christians. How do you know the elders didn't just oversee Judea? How do you know? That's right. There's the answer. Elizabeth got it right dead on. Acts 20, 28. 1 Peter 5, 2. When we are endeavoring to ascertain authority, we talked about the inductive method. What do you do in the inductive method? Two things. Gather all the facts and harmonize them. That's what Elizabeth just did. So it's said to the elders. The elders were the churches were that needed, or there were people in need. So those elders would have jurisdiction over those funds that were sent. Why? Why would they have jurisdiction over that money? Why? I don't mean to scare you. I'm just asking a question. You know the answer. Why, Doug?
They're most familiar with the circumstances of that congregation.
Well, maybe they also knew about the needs in the congregation across town over the other side of Judea. So could they oversee that too?
They had jurisdiction over that flock.
The relationship they sustained to the flock that the money's for. Of that money that's sent, if it went to several churches in Judea, which part of that money would they have, the elders in one church, have authority over?
The
money that's for their flock, the flock among them. How do you know that? Acts 20, 28, 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2. All right. Now, look at Philippians 1. We reverse the situation. This is not a benevolent contribution. This is a contribution to support a preacher. It's not alms, it's wages. So this is the church in Philippi, and if you note in 1:1, they had overseers and deacons. So saints, overseers, and deacons. That's the three groups that make up a local church. All right, when you get to chapter 4, look at chapter 4. You yourselves also know, verse 15, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, mark out the word after, it's when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me or had fellowship with me in the matter of giving and receiving but you alone, for even in Thessalonica you sent a gift more than once for my needs. So Paul is writing a letter to the church at Philippi, thanking them for their support. So here are some funds that are sent to Paul. Do these elders in Philippi oversee those funds?
No.
They don't?
They're sent to Paul.
So just Tom, Joe, and Susie decide to send money to Paul, and the elders had nothing to do with it. No oversight at all. What?
There's no oversight mentioned in this verse.
Up until it leaves their control. The
elders have the oversight of arranging this fund, saying who it's going to, because it is from that flock. Now, if those Christians individually wanted to sin, that's a different matter. But that's not what happened here. This is a collection. How do I know that? He said, no church shared with me. And church is a collective noun. When you use a singular verb with a collective noun, it's what's called collective action. They do it as one. Whether Acts 11, they did it as one, I don't know. It says the disciples sent relief. Here, Barnabas and Saul, take our money. Whether they made a collection and then that collection was put in their pockets, I don't know. Not enough data to tell. This one, there's an indication. So, here we've got a preacher that we want to support. And so we put money into a collection. And when that collection goes to that preacher, every person who put into that fund has a share in that. But we do it as the church in Humble. And that's what happened here. Now, once it got to Paul, somebody said no, that he didn't have any authority over it then, because then it was Paul's money. And so Paul, if he wanted to go buy him a new chariot, or whatever he wanted to do with it, buy him some new parchments, whatever, put it in savings. That's his money. That's not my money anymore. But as somebody said, until it left there, the idea of the arranging of the contribution and who they're going to send it to, the overseers of that local church had oversight for that collective action.
Not exactly what we've been covering here, but you run into this, and I have too. To take the case of funds extended elsewhere, if the elders look by the side off in a room somewhere, take XYZ of the church's treasury and send it off to Paul, without any consideration of the members, it's not the elders, I mean, you know, that would be an oversight of authority. They need to, it's an oversight of authority, it's not a dictatorial authority. Point one. Point two, and this is what I run into, and you have two, the elders decide, let's just take the case of supporting a missionary society of some sort, the elders decide. We're going to send XYZ money to the missionary society. He asked a member of that congregation, why is that? Did you agree? Well, the elders said it, so it must be right. That's another problem you're running into.
I hope y'all are hearing this. It's excellent comments.
You can be.
Very good. Very good. And the elders' authority is not dictatorial. Wally said, if the elders got back in the back and said, we're going to support Joe Blow in Mexico, he might be a good man. But what's the problem with that?
It's not the elders'
what?
It's not the elders' decision.
Why not?
Because it's the congregation's
decision. Why is it the congregation? Why should they be involved?
They
now look, if you don't like these kind of questions, don't come next Sunday. We need to be able to explain this, folks. The answer is right there in the verse. What's that word that he described this action? The action. Fellowship. Sharing. You put money, you're sharing. You don't even know where it's going. You don't have any say with what you're having a share in. You should. That's the whole idea. Okay. Now, on your lesson. Someone, anyone usurping a role of authority among God's people, he has delegated to no one as a violation of the pattern. And so, brotherhood project. A lot of brotherhood projects overseen by a group of men that call themselves elders, but they're not functioning as elders when they oversee more than the local church, or sometimes by preachers, some kind of society. We have more and more of this among brethren. Brethren are forming societies to do what God gave the local church the work to do. As far as I know, there's absolutely no authority for that. All right. I have a paragraph there on a suggested comparison, but I'm not going to have time, I don't think, to deal with it, so I'm going to skip it. If you hadn't read it, I encourage you to read it. Let's go down to number 8. Do you agree or disagree with the following practice? These are actual cases taken out of bulletins and articles and so forth. Here's Expo 72. I know a lot of you weren't even live back then. That's okay. Here's the point, and it's just more of this on a wider scale. We, the elders of the Pipeline Road Church in Hearst, have invited all preachers and elders of these two counties to meet together. Question, you have any problem with that?
Meeting together, no.
What do the elders in Hearst have to do with the brethren in other places? No, they don't. They call a meeting. Look, furthermore, it was felt that the brethren need to be informed. Is that the elders at Hearst's job to inform the brethren over there? Look again, number 2. Agreement that churches of Christ must not, etc. What do elders in Hearst have to do with deciding what churches of Christ do? Where is a verse that shows that elders oversee a church?
Acts 20:28.
1 Peter 5:2. We start with Acts 14:23. Elders in every church. Singular. All right, look at the second. World Radio, Louisiana. Under the oversight of the Whites Ferry Road Church in West Monroe, Louisiana. Sister congregations. That term may be okay, but I'm afraid it connotes something the Bible does not even intend. As if we're kind of grouped together somehow, you know, a family of churches. The Bible doesn't teach that. Sister congregations and interested individuals from all over the world participate. Then he said at the end, financial help's welcome. Where did they get the authority to oversee this kind of work that's neither with money that's neither from that church nor for that church? And then the Herald of Truth. Herald of Truth was on an operation when I was a boy. And it's still going. And it's back then 1,500 churches. I don't know how many churches contribute today. This is from one of their own publications. The elders of this congregation direct and oversee every phase of this work. Now note that last paragraph. The Highland elders have two major responsibilities: the shepherding of a large local congregation and the oversight of the International Herald of Truth ministry. Where in the scriptures do you get that second one? You won't find it. But it's an admission of the very thing we're trying to point out right now. They don't think anything wrong with that. They're saying that's an admission of it. It's an acknowledgement of it. What happens in one of these two areas should not adversely affect the other. Where will it stop? So we have a question. If elders can assume the oversight of a part of an evangelistic work of another church, could they oversee the over the church's worship? Who's going to wait on the table? When you're going to meet? How about their edification? What's going to, you going to teach in Bible class? Who's going to be the teachers? And if they can oversee part of the oversight of another church, if we agreed for New Canaan to oversee part of our work, could they oversee all our work? If not, why not? Furthermore, if they can oversee the assume the oversight of one other church, could they oversee assume the oversight of 100 other churches? Of all the churches, where are we headed? What?
Catholic Church.
Roman Catholic Church. Catholic's universal. Roman is ruled from Rome. That's the idea. See, what difference does it make? Well, look around you. That's what happens. Okay, and then this last paragraph is about the danger of fellowshipping that which is wrong, and pointing out that often apostasy has begun among the government of God's people. That's where it started, 1 Samuel chapter 8. We want a king to judge us like all the nations. Look what happened. That's where it happened in the 2nd century with the development of the papacy. That's where it happened in the 19th century that led to the Christian church. And that's where it's happened at the divided churches of Christ back in the 20th century and the 1940s forward. All right. Satan's smart. If he can divide God's people on something that sounds like we're all doing good work, they'll go for it. That's why we need to understand these principles. If I'm wrong, you teach me where I'm wrong. And if they're right, we pray with Craig that we'll understand God's will, be better able to teach it and to apply it. And I say amen. All right, let's do our quiz.
Is Acts 15 used, the Jerusalem meeting, is that used by, let's say, the Baptists having their convention, having a central...
Yes. Yes, it's called the Mother Church. They made a decision for other churches. I don't know about the Baptist Church, but yes, that's used that way. Good observation, Josh, but it does not authorize that.
And it doesn't authorize it because there's apostles there and there's the Holy Spirit intending that message.
No, that's not the reason.
That's my question, then. Why?
No, I'm not going to answer it today. Come next Sunday. We'll talk about it. Okay, because I'm out of time. All right, so that's a good question. Good observation, Josh. All right. If you knew nothing else about Acts 15, how do you know that didn't authorize the Jerusalem church to oversee the church down in Antioch where these guys came from? How do you know? Acts 20:28. Go to bed tonight and dream Acts 20:28, okay? All right, number one. As a father, who's been delegated authority over? He's been delegated authority over what? His child. Duties are based on relationship. All right. What? No. Here's the question. Wouldn't C work? Why wouldn't C work? As a father. See, he would not be acting as a father. You can call him a father, but that's not what a father does, is oversee societal relationships. This is what happens with a sponsoring church. Well, we're just elders. No, you're not functioning as elders. My illustration I gave that I wouldn't have time for, go back and read that paragraph. You'll see what I'm talking about. All right. Number two, an employee has authority over the women who work under him because why? Sustains a relationship with them as their employer. And that would be C up here. That man who was given those children under that, based on that relationship, might have authority, but not because he's their father. And then three, the missionary society was wrong because why? A and D. Preachers have no divinely delegated authority over the work of churches. And D, there's no authority for churches to work collectively under a central oversight. Centralization is what it's all about. All right. And number four, elders have authority over what? B, the local church of which there are members. C, let me ask you a question. Congregation of the Church of Christ, what is that?
That's plural, more than one church.
Denomination. That's a denomination. And you hear brethren talk this way all the time. Church comprising churches, that's what a denomination is. Never use that way in the Bible. Number five, a local church may agree to put its work in the following areas under the elders of a sponsoring church. Which one of these is correct?
None.
None. E. None of these. Number six, when elders oversee something other than the local church among them, they do so as what? B. A board of men existing and function should be functioning by humanly delegated authority. Number seven, elders have jurisdiction over funds what? A and B. From the church among them, for the church among them. How do you know? How do you know?
Acts 1:28.
Good. Elders' oversight arises from and is limited by what? D. Their relationship with the local church in which they're elders. What's the correct answer on nine? All of them. That's right. My time's up. Okay. Don't mean to embarrass anybody, hurt anybody's feelings. We need to understand why we believe what we believe. Okay. Thank you.